an announcement that was made yesterday, probably overdue. Airbnb says globally they are banning their hosts from using indoor security cameras in the Airbnbs that you're renting. I didn't realize you're allowed to have cameras indoors.
Me neither. Seems creepy. I'm sure it was only in the common areas.
Well, that was the rule. You could have cameras in the common areas if you informed the guests that the cameras were there. Even if you claim the cameras were off during the guest stay, you had to inform them that there were cameras in any common areas. You weren't allowed to have cameras in bedrooms or bathrooms, although
they've been discovered.
If you want to double check the power outlets on the wall, you might want to.
If there's a smoke detector in the master bedroom, be cautious.
There's a smoke detector in every room of the house. Red flag.
Right above the toilet or in the toilet. Red flag.
Isn't that the whole point of an Airbnb? You take your special someone away on a romantic vacation. You want to make sure you get use out of the entire house, not just the bedrooms and the bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Which makes me not want to use this kitchen counter ever. Because who knows if they're even getting washed or sit on the couch.
Wipe everything down.
I just assumed, even on my bachelor party last May, that there had to have been cameras outside and they were going to count the amount of vehicles in the laneway and make sure it was the same as what we said it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had an Airbnb unit, I wouldn't put a camera on the inside, but I guarantee I'd put one on the laneway. And I've heard so many stories of people saying it's just going to be me and my wife or blah, blah, blah. And then they have kind of a party. And then wouldn't you know it, the owners show up.
Well, yeah, or the house gets trashed. It would be stressful to be running one of these Airbnbs.
Yeah, yeah. But even when they don't say we're watching the property, they'll show up and knock on the door. Hey, we just brought over some new towels. We forgot we had some, didn't put towels in there.
Oh, you've got 30 people here. You said there's only two of you.
Hmm.
Well, they are not allowing indoor cameras anymore. Airbnb also saying most homes didn't have them anyway, but hosts who do have indoor cameras have until April 30th to remove them. So between now and April 30th, make sure your gratuitous nudity at the Airbnb is kept in the bedrooms and the bathrooms. And away from the smoke detectors. This is sad news. Eric Carmen passed away over the weekend. You recognize the name Eric Carmen, Jim?
No.
May not know his name, but you definitely know a few of his songs. He was a big-time singer back in the 70s and 80s. And he sang this jam, which has been used in tons of movies and TV commercials over the years.
This is an iconic tune. It's supposed to be sad, but it's always funny.
Yeah.
That's what it's always used in, like a comedic moment almost.
Yeah, if you want to make it a movie, you want the main character to look like he's a lonely loser.
Yeah, this song and One is the Lonely.
That's right.
Two super sad, serious songs that are hilarious.
And if you don't recognize that version, you probably recognize this version here. Celine covered Eric Carmen.
Don't wanna be all by
Still funny when Celine sings it.
It's a little better though.
Walking down the street, kicking rocks.
Charlie Brown style, head down.
Speaking of covers, so Eric Carmen, he was the lead singer of a band called The Raspberries, and The Killers did a cover of The Raspberries' hit called Go All the Way. I've always liked this song. Very Who-like guitar riff there. And the other Eric Carmen song that this is the one for me because I grew up with three sisters, single mom, and my mom had one tape in the minivan. one cassette tape that we listened to over and over, and that was the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. Eric Carmen had hungry eyes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away over the weekend at age 74. Condolences to his friends and family. No cause of death was given. Hey, we were talking on the show yesterday about this Kate Middleton conspiracy theory that is circulating online. And over the past 24 hours, his story's really blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Kate Middleton? Why did she release a picture that apparently she personally had photoshopped of her and her kids this past weekend, which sounds crazy to think that the princess is sitting down in front of her Apple computer manipulating family photos that are going to be officially released by Buckingham Palace?
Yeah, I think they have a squad for that already.
They've got a guy.
Yeah, at least.
Or a couple of them that usually deal with that sort of stuff. She had a surgery a while back, and there's speculation as to how she's doing. But another picture of the princess, I think it was a paparazzi shot.
Yeah.
Popped up yesterday later in the day. And again, it's through a car window from a distance, very grainy. You can't even really tell if it's Kate Middleton.
And she's turning her head away, so you can see the side of her jaw, maybe her ear. But it's obviously Prince William with her, with whoever that is, if it is her. But he's very visible.
Yeah, you can
she's
tell,
still not.
You can tell it's him, but her, can't confirm.
Who knows? There's obviously crazy theories going around, but this could all be cleared up. And not like she owes us an explanation, but if this rumor was going around for this long, you'd think she would just simply take a video of herself or have her team take a video and say, hey, it's me, Kate, I'm recovering from this. This is out of control. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Put the rumors to rest, but it's building and building. So what is going on?
I hope she's okay. You don't wish ill on anybody, but I saw speculations that maybe she's the surgery didn't go well and she could be in a coma or something, which would be absolutely terrible. I wouldn't celebrate that at all. There's also speculation that maybe there's marital problems yeah, between her and Will, and maybe she's no longer the princess.
Maybe. It's funny because I was thinking yesterday, I'm like, you know, I thought Will was the normal one. But I mean, his brother's a dumbass. His dad's kind of a dumbass. The uncle's a dumbass. I bet you Will is probably an idiot too.
Well,
he keeps his mouth shut so we don't know. But I mean, the whole family's messed up.
I don't think you can be one of the Windsors and be, quote, normal.
Yeah.
That'd be a pretty difficult task for anyone to achieve.
Very true.
If they're in that family. So I guess all we can say is hopefully Kate's okay and we find out sooner than later why the only pictures we're seeing of her are manipulated or from a distance turned to the side.
Very sketchy.
Through a car window. It's time for sports. Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He joins us. Touching tribute to Kobe Bryant down in Los Angeles. The thought was nice. The execution, not so much.
Not so much at all. So the LA Lakers have three statues planned for Kobe Bryant. One is to commemorate his 81-point game. That's wearing his number 8 jersey. Another is where he's wearing his number 24 jersey. The third statue will be him and his daughter. The first statue that has been unveiled is the 81-point game statue with him wearing the number 8 jersey. And there are some problems with it, because it is riddled with typos.
Spelling mistakes. At the base of the statue.
Yeah, so they've got the, you know, Kobe at the top, of course, and then they've engraved the box score underneath. The problem is, on the box score, they misspelled Jose Calderon's name. So when he did this, he played the Toronto Raptors. So they misspelled Jose Calderon's name. They misspelled Von Wafer's name. They misspelled Coach's Decision on the box score as well.
Jim, you're looking at it. How did they spell Coach's Decision?
They spelled Vom Wafer. Like, just little stupid spelling mistakes. Jose Calderon, they put Jose Calderson. They're putting wrong letters in there.
Is making up aliases for the guys.
They spelled decision with two C's.
I'd love to be in the room when they were spelling this out. Was it someone who had some indecision, or were they just locked in that this is how you spell these words, these names?
He'd think he'd double, triple check, because it's not just a plaque, too. It's engraved like a gravestone.
It's also on the team, because it's on the artist, whoever did this, of course.
Yeah.
But the team would have been able to see the statue and check it before they unveiled it, because it has now gone viral. There is a German media guy who took a picture of this on Monday, and it spread everywhere.
Yeah.
Team said they've been aware of it for a couple of weeks. They're working to fix it. I don't know, like, if when you see it initially, maybe just take it down again so people don't see it.
Or cover that part up with something.
Put a piece
of plywood over it, sure, if you have to.
Anything so that you don't essentially tarnish the memory that you're trying to honor with the entire statue.
Yeah, this is not what people should be talking about when they see the statue of Kobe Bryant.
Classic Lakers, though, because the Lakers are either, like, great or hilariously bad. And in this case, they're hilariously bad. Ka-kaw!
Jim, you have a headline that you wanted to read me here.
Yeah, I had to take a screenshot of this because I just imagine, after reading this, traveling back in time and showing somebody 20 years ago that this is an actual headline from the future from a Canadian newspaper.
In the year 2024.
Yeah, heads up.
This is a newspaper headline.
Now, this is technically a headline and then the sub-headline, but that's basically a headline. So from the Toronto Star yesterday, sexist men may be more likely to be robosexual, that is, form sexual relationships with robots, Ontario researcher says. While both men and women are interested in relationships with robots, the study found women prefer platonic robo-friendships over sex. Now, I don't disagree with any of that, but just reading that out loud, it's just bonkers where our society is at tech-wise.
So sexist men are more likely to want to have sex with a robot.
Yeah. But guys like us, we just want to be friends with it, I guess.
Maybe friends with Benny's.
But this is also, it honestly seems like that's just, seems to be human relationships as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, women are probably more likely than men to want to have a platonic relationship with couch cushions.
What?
What I'm saying is men will have sex with anything.
So I had to connect that dot, but I 100%, yeah. But we're living in a time when even robots are getting friend-zoned. Like,
can you
crazy.
Imagine how disappointed that robot must be? And, sorry, I just want to be friends, R2-D2. Me.
In fact, I haven't seen that many male sex robots. Like, I've seen a lot of the female ones. They mm-hmm. seem to be making headlines, but of course there's going to be the male ones. I just haven't seen them that much.
Yeah. And well, I'm sure there's women who would think initially they'd say they just want to be friends with it, but once that emotional bond develops over time, there's a chance they may be purchasing the attachment from Amazon.
Yeah, the upgrade. Once they realize how good of a listener this robo-friendship guy is.
Yeah, he doesn't ask me any questions about things I don't want to talk about, and he listens to everything I have to say about my day at work.
He's never running around town. He's always there.
He's always sitting there, staring right at me when I talk to him. Yeah, that is wild. You know, back in the late 90s, I would have been hoping the headlines would be about flying cars, but...
Hoverboards?
Yeah. Sex robots does sound futuristic. Jim, read that headline that kind of caught you by surprise. Just how futuristic the world's gotten here.
This is from the Toronto Star. Sexist men may be more likely to be, quote, robosexual. That is, form sexual relationships with robots, Ontario researcher says. While both men and women are interested in relationships with robots, the study found women prefer platonic robo-friendships over sex. I like how they use the word platonic as well. Like, the robot has a choice.
I like robo-friendship.
To be honest, I do want a robot best friend.
Sure.
You know, you watch like TV animated shows from the 90s, you're like, I would like a robot. I want a bender. In my life, from Futurama, you know, drinking and blackjack.
Maybe not Bender.
He would steal all your jewels, but
more trouble than he's worth. I'd like Rocky's robot. Remember, Rocky had a robot.
Yeah.
Was that Rocky 4?
It seems so futuristic.
It brings you drinks. Or Short Circuit. It was kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Short Circuit, Johnny Five would be a fun robot to have.
Yeah, Screech from Saved by the Bell had one. And those ones always seem futuristic. But looking at them now, they were always on wheels and like, yeah, didn't move.
Not great at getting upstairs.
Nah.
R2-D2, they kind of solved that problem, right? They put little, like in the...
A rocket booster?
Yeah, in the newer movies, they put little rocket boosters on the side to kind of explain how he would get from one level to another level without being able to roll up there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he made it through a deserty sand dune at one point on those... on those things.
He was hobbling along, though, because he would either roll, he'd kick out that third thing and roll along on the three legs, or he would just hobble along on two legs.
That's right.
Wasn't very efficient. But boy, was he sexy.
I'd like to start up a platonic robo-friendship with that specimen.
R2-D2, you don't want to know what the D stands for.
But a new sexuality, maybe robosexual. We may be seeing this more often.
We have a text message here from one of our Taz and Jim listeners, 1-833-TAZ-AND-JIM, if you ever want to join the show. It says, hey guys, when I was 15, my dad bought me a book titled Love and Sex with Robots. It was about how humans can make the mental leap to love and have sex with robots. At the time, I thought my dad was just being weird. Well, look where we are now, right? Admittedly, the book was pretty good.
Huh. Because there's a Netflix show called Love, Death, and Robots, which is kind of like that, too. But that book seems...
I've got some questions for this guy. Let's call him.
There we go. Love and Sex with Robots.
Did you find it on Amazon?
Human-robot relationships. And on the cover, Hello? It's a bride and a robot.
Hey, who's this?
It's Liam.
Liam. Your dad bought you that book about having relations with robots when you're 15 years old.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice, but he's always made those kind of things. So,
is he a big sci-fi guy or something already?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes more sense. But hey, son, here's the birds and the bees, kind of.
Was it a nonfiction book, or was it like a science fiction story?
Yeah, it was a nonfiction book. The first half of it was about how people can make the leap to loving robots, and like starts with kids making connections with things like Tamagotchis and going from there. And then the second half of the book was how to people can make the leap to having sex with robots. And it's
just, were there blueprints in there, like build your own sort of deal?
Like, you know, here's a toaster.
Yeah, that was almost 20 years ago. Yeah. I don't think so, but who
do
knows?
Not use a toaster, especially one that's plugged in.
True. So have you considered...
There's an inanimate object out there for everybody.
Do you think this book sent you on a path to be more accepting of these type of relationships?
Yeah, are you currently with a human or a robot?
Currently with a human, But you never know what the future holds.
You know, I'm a bit of a submarine sandwich aficionado, Jim.
Yeah, you do love a good sub.
I love a good sub. Yesterday, after the show, way home, my wife and kids are still out of town, so I figured I'd treat myself. It's nice when you can go to buy a sub and you don't have to buy one for the whole family.
Sorry, getting a $7 sub is treating yourself?
$7? Where are you getting? I got a foot long.
I usually get a 6-inch. Yeah, yeah, I cheap out.
I got a $10 or $11 sub. It was glorious, but I went to Subway.
Yeah,
and I want to give a shout out to all the sandwich artists out there who now have another aspect that has been added to their job. They're now fresh slicing the deli meat at Subway restaurants.
Fresh slicing.
So they got, you know, the big meat slicer like they have at the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah, like a deli slicer.
Yeah, yeah.
And you
deli
put the
slicer.
Whole chunk of ham on it. And yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're fresh slicing it. To me, it seems like they're trying to compete with Jersey Mike's.
Do they do that in front of you too?
Jersey Mike's does.
Interesting.
Does the fresh sliced meat, but that's not the only reason. I enjoy Jersey Mike's as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not because of the slicing per se. It's because of the way the sub tastes.
Sure.
Right?
Like, I know Subway's angle is eat fresh, so maybe this makes it appear fresh, but I assume they just did that back behind the doors anyway. Like, I don't feel like it's any fresher. Yeah, right?
I made a comment to the people working there. I was like, oh boy, you guys must be excited. Hey, now you got to slice all the meat. You're already baking the bread. Now you got to slice the meat.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't want to acknowledge it because maybe their boss was in the other room or something, but they kind of looked back and gave me like the wink and nod.
We
like,
get you.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. It's nice to see it. I like watching that when I order, you know, at the deli. But I feel like it's going to slow things down, and it's not enough of a spectacle to bring me in the door. If they had, like, a samurai sword and yeah. they were, like, slicer or something, like, some more of a novelty.
Like the hibachi restaurant
exactly.
where they're throwing the stuff in the air. If they start throwing the meat in the air onto a grill,
yeah,
flames
yeah.
are shooting up.
Now, forget about the microwave.
That makes you a true sandwich artist if you're doing that.
A sandwich performance artist. Let's take it to the next level.
I am a little concerned about the transition, though, with the employees at the Subway restaurants, because that thing looks pretty sharp, you
sure,
know?
Sure, I know. It's
Please
a power tool.
Stay focused and stay safe if you're making subs at Subway. We don't need you losing a fingertip or two on that thing.
Yeah, and those loose plastic gloves don't look like, like they look like you get caught easily. Careful.
It was announced last week that Mike Tyson is getting back in the ring. And he's going to fight YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul. Now, some news came out yesterday. Now, it's hearsay, but it sounds like something that could actually be happening. So apparently, according to boxer Derek Chisora, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, when they fight on July 20th, are going to be wearing headgear in the ring, protective headgear, and they're going to have the larger gloves, like 18-ounce gloves. Does this make this, like, even lamer?
Like, more of an exhibition, less violence?
Right. Yeah. Is this even a real fight now? Well, we want to ask that question to one of the guys who helped our boy Jim Kelly train for his fight to end homelessness this past summer. Tanner, Jim's boxing coach, is on the line. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, we're wondering what you think about this news that they might be wearing headgear and the bigger gloves in the ring.
It's interesting. I think that either way, it's supposed to be free on Netflix, so.
So we're not getting ripped off.
Watch it.
The good news, now, if it was a pay-per-view and you heard they're wearing headgear and using 18-ounce gloves, would that determine whether or not you ordered the fight?
I wouldn't order a Jake Paul fight. I would always stream it.
Illegally. Yeah, as we all will.
Yeah, it's a Jake Paul fight. I will never pay for one of those. But with that being said, I think that Mike Tyson's old. So if Jake Paul was to hurt Mike Tyson, I'd be really upset. But if Mike Tyson hurts Jake Paul, I'll be entertained.
Yeah, it's kind of a catch 22, isn't it? Could we just get headgear on Tyson and Jake Paul doesn't wear anything?
I think it's still an interesting fight because Mike Tyson's 57 years old, but in the end of the day, he's still Mike Tyson. And Jake Paul, he's been training hard. He is not a terrible boxer. So I think that even with the age gap, I think that it should still be a pretty decent fight, I guess. And I'm really it's interesting. I think it's gimmicky, but I think it's interesting, and I want to see how it plays out. I'm hoping, and obviously I think everyone is rooting for Mike Tyson, but
yeah,
it is one of those what-if situations. Like,
or it's like a dream scenario, like, oh, who's going to teach Jake Paul a lesson?
Right.
Mike Tyson.
I compared it to the Michael Phelps swimming against a shark thing, right?
Oh, Tyson's the shark for sure.
Exactly.
So this headgear and the big gloves, it can only be an advantage for Jake, I'd assume, because he would want this fight to go longer. Tyson was never known for his cardio. Like, this can only help Jake, right?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, I'm not sure who it helps. I think it just makes it more of an, it's just like a sparring match. Like, if they're wearing the headgear and the big gloves, I doubt either of them will get hurt, which is good because Mike's old. But I'm not sure if that's even true. I could assume that Mike wouldn't want to wear the headgear or the big gloves.
How big were the gloves that Jim wore in his boxing match?
I think he wore 16s, but those were hard gloves.
So you wore smaller gloves than they're going to be wearing? They're basically strapping pillows to their hands here.
Yeah. Huh, yeah, they're big guys, though.
Yeah, what would you, yeah, unlike me. Plus. Yeah, what's your prediction, if you have to? We're not holding you to it, but like when you first instinctually heard this fight, like what do you think is going to happen?
It's interesting, and I'm not sure because I haven't seen enough Mike Tyson because he's older. He's almost 6 years old.
Did you watch him versus Roy Jones a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever that was?
I did. I thought he looked good, but he did look old. Like, you can tell that his body is obviously weathered.
Yeah.
And just because of that, and Jake Paul is not a horrible boxer, even though a lot of people don't want to give him his flowers. He does work hard, and he has been training with world-class coaches for a long time, so... For me to give a prediction, it's hardest. But with headgear, there's no one's going to win. It's going to be a fun fight. It's just going to be an exhibition. So at the very end, no one gets their hand raised. If it's with headgear, without headgear, I could see it going either way, depending on how Mike Tyson's body looks. I think that we'd get a good tell of what's going to happen within the first round if Mike is able to move even. Obviously, if this fight happened 20 years ago, it wouldn't even be a question,
yeah.
Right? It would be an assault charge.
We've got Tanner on the line. He was Jim Kelly's boxing coach in the summer for the fight to end homelessness. I hear you got a big social media following, Science Over Violence. What's that about?
It's just a breakdown page. I do a lot of boxing breakdowns. I try to teach... people who don't know about boxing, just how, like, I guess chessy the sport is, where it's really strategic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize when they watch fights what's going on. And you can watch fights since you're a kid and not actually know what's happening while you're watching them. So I try to just break stuff down and slow stuff down so people can see.
Cool. Well, if you're looking to educate yourself on the world of boxing, Science Over Violence on Instagram, check out Tanner. Thanks for joining us here.
Yeah, and shout out to Boomer's Boxing Club if you want to take up boxing. Could not recommend it enough on Dundas Street in London.
Taz and Jim, got to give a shout out to Alora, our girl. She's filling in for Ryan, our producer, who's off today. And she sent me this video. I don't know if she just thought it was cute or if she knows I've been having raccoon problems in my backyard.
Yeah.
But a video has gone viral of a raccoon that followed a customer into a McDonald's in Toronto.
Oh, my God.
Just strolling around down the aisle here. Yeah. Look at that thing go.
The close-up of its face is it's like leaning against a bench. Adorable.
Yeah. It reaches up onto the bench where the guy filming the video is sitting. I think he thought that the fur on his coat there, the around the hood of his coat, was another raccoon.
Yeah.
Tried to make a friend.
It looks like the Canadian geese coat or something like that. They, fur on it.
They are kind of cute, huh?
Adorable, for sure. The little mask, you know, they got like little glasses on.
A little burglar mask.
Yeah, and their little human hands are like tiny baby hands.
Thumbs. I caught another one yesterday.
No.
But I'm starting to think that... Either it's the same one that we let go, because you told me you're only allowed to take the thing a kilometer from your house.
I didn't tell you. I informed you of the bylaw.
You said that.
Jim forced me to let it go behind my house.
You told me, right?
Yeah, I did.
That
yes.
You're supposed to only take them a kilometer away because something to do with rabies, and it's an animal that could have rabies, so they don't want you spreading it around.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you spin it around really fast 3 times like I told you?
So it was confused and didn't know which way to go to get back home. We put it in the back of a truck. I thought that would be enough, but I am suspicious as to whether or not this is the same raccoon that has just come back to my house. Or my other theory is... We don't have any other raccoons living under our deck, because I've set the trap like 3 or 4 times and I haven't caught anything since I caught the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been putting food in the trap and the food's been going missing. So I think like it's just a smorgasbord over at Taz's house. the raccoon all-you-can-eat buffet.
Sure.
And we're probably attracting the raccoons from my neighbor's yard over to our place because they know we got good free eats going on in there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if that smell of that bait catches one raccoon, why wouldn't it catch them all in the neighborhood?
As long as you don't step on the little trigger thing, you're getting free marshmallows and peanut butter.
Sounds like you need a better trap.
So I caught another one or the same one again yesterday, and I took it a kilometer away and I dropped it off, and we'll see what happens.
I think you got to tag it with the orange construction paint like your father-in-law did, just out of curiosity.
Give it a little spritz with spray paint so I know for sure whether or not it's the same one. Or maybe I should just put some McDonald's in the trap.
Yeah.
Give it a taste of like a Happy Meal or something, then it'll just start hanging out at the McDonald's instead of under my deck.
Yeah, that's the move.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.